But tonight I have a stirring word in my heart for you. You've already heard the transforming power of the gospel so clearly told in the lives of the stories tonight. Real people, real stories. Tonight my message is called Real Hope. You see, everything you heard of ringing through what has been shared was a hope that is true, a hope that it's not of this world, a hope that is truly transforming. And I want to begin, just want to share a brief passage of scripture in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through to 5. It talks about this hope that I want to share with you tonight. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, we boast also in and glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And this hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us tonight. God is doing incredible things in northern Iraq. When we first moved there, in fact, the day we landed in northern Iraq was the very day that ISIS invaded. We had no idea who ISIS was. I don't think anyone really did until the very day we got there. And we traveled into the 2-hour drive into the mountains where we would call our home, which has been for a little over 2 years now, to find out that there was a murderous, barbaric campaign to get rid of anybody who didn't believe whatever these people believed. Thousands upon thousands, hundreds of thousands. In fact, right now it's 3.9 million people have been displaced by ISIS. I mean, that's a mind-boggling number. And many of those fled and came onto our doorstep. Now, things got really tricky for a while. We had to flee to Turkey because, well, you know, there was a lot of threats. Journalists were being killed left, right, and center. People were, there was some terrible things going on. I'm sure you can imagine that, and know of and remember that time when it seemed to just cover the news. But after a few short weeks in Turkey, we came back to northern Iraq knowing God had called us for this purpose, to stand and live here. And it's been incredible to see what God has done. You saw a brief video of the work that we're doing, but tonight I want to tell you what often we can't tell in media, we can't tell behind, in public settings. What God is doing there is there's a move of God's Holy Spirit saving many people. In fact, when we moved there, there was really only 4 or 5 believers in this town of 150,000 people. And today, just before I was here waiting in an airport, and I got a text message from one of the believers there in our town saying there's about 50 to 60 believers now growing in this town. You see, they're hungry for God. Amen. There's a hunger, and there's a hunger, I believe, in this room for something real, for a hope that's real, for a hope that can transform your life. I want to tell you a story about a young man named, let's call him Nick for tonight. It's not his real name. Now, this happened a few months ago Now, one of the things I love about, and this hunger that there is in northern Iraq is, literally, most weeks I would have in my house about 10 to 12 young people. Sometimes it'd be older guys would find out there was this group of meeting in my house that would, they were just hungry to learn. They would say they're coming to learn English, but as soon as they step in the door, as soon as we sat down on the couch and sat and drank tea, they'd say, Tim, tell me a story about Jesus. Tell us a story about Jesus. And so for quite a long time, we would have these meetings in my room, and it was just incredible, just time and time again, just to be able to share a new gospel story about Jesus and what he'd done and the stories with them. And they would just soak it up and soak it up. But you know, in my town, if any of their parents knew, if any of the people coming into my home, their family knew what they were coming for, literally their lives would be threatened. But there was a hunger burning deep in their hearts. Now, a few months ago, just like had happened this night, this young man was, I hadn't noticed him before, was in my living room. And at the end of the meeting, he said, Tim, I need to speak with you in private. I said, okay, let's go in the other room. He said, no, this is not private enough. Can you meet me tomorrow? In fact, I'll call you tomorrow and we can arrange a time and a place to meet. Now, in our town at the time, you've got to understand there's four families, but at the time where we were living there was only three families, Western families, that were living in this town. And one of the Western families had received death threats and were forced to leave the town because of the work of the gospel. And so amongst this had just happened. So amongst our families, there was a bit of fear in our hearts. You know, I don't want to go out and meet someone I really didn't know just in the middle, you know, without really knowing who he was. I mean, something could happen. And Sarah, my wife, will attest to you when I told her about, hey, I've got to meet this guy tomorrow night. He called me up and I said, okay, well, let's go to town centre. Now, it sounds quite big and large, but it's this tiny little grocery store. It's the biggest thing in town that we live in, where we live. And I thought, well, that's a good place to go. We can walk the aisles. No one really, you know, at least I know if anything happens, there'll be plenty of witnesses there to attest to what's going on. And my wife and I, and before I left that night, I said, Sarah, if you don't see me again, just know, you know, if you don't hear from me in an hour, here's the number. It was literally, that's what it felt like. There was a real deep sense of like, God, I hope you're in this kind of thing. But lo and behold, I went that night. I met him we went into the grocery store. And I kid you not, the first thing I did was I went straight for the aisle that sold the forks and the knives. I bought a set. I kid you not, I came home that night with a set of steak knives because I was sure Sarah needed a set of steak knives. But you know, literally, I just wanted to make sure if anything was going to, I wasn't going to use it, but I just wanted him to know and him to feel a little bit of what I was feeling. And we get in the grocery store and he goes, I can't meet with you here. His English is fairly good. And he goes, I can't really meet with you here. Can we go into the park next door? And it's the middle of winter at the time. So this is about 6 months ago. So we go into the park. It's freezing cold. It's dark. I'm like, what am I doing? And the first thing he says is, Tim, as much as you love your two eyes, which is a very kind of common saying in Kurdistan, as much as you love your two eyes, what I'm about to tell you cannot tell a soul here in this town. I said, sure, no problem. We get in there. He said, do you remember, would have been maybe 9 months ago, he said, when you came and you brought your guitar to this event, this gathering that you had, and you sang some songs about Jesus and you told a story about Jesus. Do you remember that time, that particular event? I said, I remember the event, but I don't remember you. He said, I was sitting there and I heard you talk about this Jesus. And I was like, I went on a mission. I had to find out who this Jesus really was. He said, I went on the internet. I stole my brother's phone when he fell asleep because I didn't have a phone that had internet on it. And I would read the Bible and I would read about this Jesus. And I've been looking for you for 5 months to find you. Because I want to tell you, I want to follow this Jesus and I need you to teach me about this Jesus. I kid you not. I was ashamed I had that set of steak knives in, but I could not believe it. Now, we've spent so much time. He comes over to our house literally every other day and we've just pour through the Gospels and we talk about Jesus. And you know, to this day, this young man, he receives threats and beatings from his father because he refuses to go to the mosque. But there's a growing number of believers now in this town that are meeting together and many stories like him and much persecution and there's much prayer that you need to be in prayer for them. For those that have risked their lives. But you see, there's a joy in this young man's life. There's a hope that he has got a hold of that nothing can shake, that nothing can... death is no threat against his life anymore because he has a hope that laughs beyond the grave. Amen. No suffering in this world, just like we read. No suffering, no matter what. He's willing to persevere because he has a hope. And tonight, there's many of you sitting in the seats. You've heard the stories. You've listened to what's been said, and you want that hope. You want to walk out tonight knowing that you are loved by God, that you are accepted into the family of God, that you are forgiven and that you are saved. You are desperate for that tonight, and it doesn't matter what background you come from. You see, I grew up in a Christian home just like you heard. I mean, unfortunately, and I thank God his keeping power kept me from doing the partying and the drugs and all those things. But you see, I fell prey to an even greater sin, a sin of religion. See, I was in church just as much as I was in school. I was in church 2 days on a Sunday. I went to midweek service. I went to home group. And I, of course, because my father was the pastor, I'd have to go to all the music rehearsals and worship rehearsals. I mean, you could be in the choir tonight. Doesn't matter where you are, wherever you could be, going to church won't get you into heaven. Going to church won't give you a hope that the devil can't take away, that no trial, no tribulation can't shake. Friends, none of that. Doesn't matter where you're at tonight. You could be listening and you could be a Muslim. And you're like, wow, I want that hope. I want that joy. I want that peace tonight. There's peace that you can walk away tonight with. And you see, this isn't a hope. That so often we have watered down this word hope. We say it's this wishful thinking. Oh, I hope, you know, I get that job. Or I hope, you know, I could, you know, this will work out with this girl or this guy. Or I hope this and I hope that. Or, you know, someone will tell you, no, you just got to think positively. And if you just can think positively, everything will fall together. Friends, I'm not talking about that hope tonight. You know, I've got a little illustration. I believe that, you know, this is what our hope is like. You see, the Bible calls this hope a deep anchor for the soul that keeps us firm and secure. And so what we often do, Mark, if you come on out here, what we often do is this is what our hope symbolizes. We say, God. And you know what? I deal with refugees day in, day out that have this same, you know, the same thing. If only I can get out of the tent or get off the streets and get into a tent, then maybe my life will be better. And so with that wishful hope, we blow into our balloon and we say, my life will be better if I can get that job or if only this. And we keep filling our lives with this hope. That if only I can get that promotion at work, everything's going to work out just fine. If only maybe you're struggling with sickness, or maybe there's deep loved ones that are just struggling, and if only they could get better, then everything will be fine, God. And we blow that up, but you know what happens to that hope that we put our trust in and our reliance on is when trials come, when tribulations come and things don't work out. Well, you know what happens. Everything falls apart. See, that's not the hope tonight that we're offering, that Jesus is offering to you, that we're talking to you about tonight. You see, there is a hope. It's much deeper. And it's like, now, Michael, this is just water, right? You filled it up. There's no trick to this. But, you know, I read a verse in Romans in chapter 5, and it says, let me go back to that. It says, and hope does not put us to shame because God has poured out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given to us. So the hope I'm talking to you tonight, sorry, maintenance, but the hope I'm talking to you tonight, it's like this. This balloon that's filled with water, the Spirit of God fills our hearts. If you could hold that for me, Michael. You know, the love of God is in our hearts. Bible says that this hope that we have, it's like an inheritance that can never spoil or fade. No matter what trial comes your way, no matter what you face, no matter what comes against you, there is a hope that will last. You know, even the flames of hell, even death itself cannot come against you. Now, friends, that's just a silly illustration, but guys, listen to me. There's a hope tonight. Jesus is offering you tonight his very life. In fact, the Bible says his love shed abroad, poured out into your hearts tonight. You can come and accept that tonight, and you can walk away this place changed. You know, the Bible says, you know what eternal life is? It's to know Jesus. It's to know his Son. It's to know the Son. And a lot of you have come in here tonight and you've got a bag of excuses as to why you can't go out and walk out of this place with hope. You've got a bag of excuses. Some of you are here tonight, you don't know, you've got fear. Now, I can share with you a little bit about that fear that we and our family have faced over the last couple of years. You know, there was a time when we were holed up in Turkey for a couple of weeks and everything was going on. And we were getting phone calls from our family saying, Tim, you got to leave. Get out of there. My brother was literally bawling on the phone. And, you know, it was scary. We had a 6-month-old, I think, at the time. Not even. She was 4 months. And we had two other children, four and one. And we looked at them like, God, is this what you really want us to do? There was fear in our hearts, but God led us to his word. We shut off the phones. We shut off internet. We shut everything off and we began to pray. And the Lord led us to the scripture in Isaiah that says, the Lord gently leads those with young. And as soon as we got to that passage, the Lord just quickened. We've got to go back. You see, God has taken care of us. He's watched over us. We have never felt fear, or we have been saved completely the whole time that we were there. God is faithful. And tonight you can have that security, that anchor to the soul, that no matter what trial you face. And so when you list your fears, your excuses of fears tonight of why you can't, you're too afraid to step out and accept this hope, this is what you need to hold on to, the promise of God. The Bible says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you a hope and a future, to prosper you, not to harm you. Tonight, trade your fear in for the future that God has for you. Some of you are like, you know what, Tim, you have no idea how much I've failed. I'm a failure. In fact, some of you are sitting in your seats tonight and you think that you've failed too much. You've gone too far. That God is literally, no matter, you can't come to him. And I want to tell you that's a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. God loves you. And tonight you can receive a hope. You can receive eternal life. You can receive joy tonight. You can receive forgiveness. And so get rid of the excuses, friends. Tonight, trade in your failure for the forgiveness and the freedom that is offering for you tonight. And lastly, there's some of you that you just got fine print. You know what fine print is? I hate fine print. It's like you get that cell phone deal. It says, you know, this cell phone is $0 asterisk. And you look at the fine print and what is it? You're just like, 2 pages of reasons why, you know, that phone is not $0, right? And so that's what we do with God, though. God's saying, I want to use you tonight. And some of you, you've got a call of God in your life. And you're running from God. Tonight, I'm too old. I'm too past. I can't do it. Or the fine print you're offering to God is yes, you can use me, but you know, down here I'm too young, or I'm too sick, or I'm too. No, look, guys. No more excuses. Tonight is the night. God is calling your name. He's saying, son, daughter, I love you. And in a moment, we're going to sing a song. In fact, there's going to be people that can come and pray with you, right? If God is speaking to you tonight, if the worship team wants to come up. Tonight's your night to respond to Jesus. He's not got a condemning voice. He's not against you. He's for you. He loves you. So why don't you stand to your feet? You've heard the message loud and clear tonight. There's a hope. There's real hope, friends. Not a fake, phony hope. You can walk out of this place transformed because Jesus Christ has died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. He's died on the cross. He's paid the price. And all you have to do tonight is trade in your sin. Trade in your failure. Trade in your fears. Trade in whatever it is that's holding you back tonight. And I know there's many of you here tonight. And you can come and you can receive the love of God. Just as Pastor Carter shared, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. He will fill you. And no matter what trial will come your way, you are secure in Him. No matter what tribulation you face, in fact, death has no power over you. You have eternal life in Him. Friends, if that's you tonight and you want to say, yes, Tim, that's what I want. Just like Nick in Iraq, who's willing to pay the greatest sacrifice. Just like these two incredible people that told us their stories tonight. Just like them, you too can go walk away, transformed, changed with that hope. Don't wait another moment. Come as the music plays. Please respond to Jesus. Even now, as you hear my voice, just come. Come to the front. Do business with God. Trade in whatever's holding you back and receive the forgiveness and the freedom and the future that God has for you. Amen. Father, I pray that you would fill each and every person here with your Holy Spirit. God, I pray, Lord, for those that are recommitting their lives to you, Lord, as they surrender their hearts to you, Jesus. Fill them with your Spirit, Lord. Cleanse them and empower them to live for you. Father, for those that are here for the first time, oh God, wash over them, I pray. In fact, all of you here in North Jersey, here at the front, let's pray together. Won't you repeat after me? Father, I surrender. Hands up, I give up the fight. Lord, I give you my fear. Give you my sin, my failure. Have it all. God, I give you all of my good works. All my striving. Everything. And I ask that you would come fill me, flood me, empower me to live for you, Jesus. Thank you for the hope that I now have, that no matter what comes my way, I have victory in Jesus' name. I have eternal life. Thank you, Jesus, that I will be living with you and all the saints forever and ever. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.